Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Last week we talked that Jesus in this moment was working to the cross. Jesus worked to the cross so we as believers could work from the cross. What does that mean? That there was a power unleashed in the crucifixion and in the resurrection that allows us as believers not to have to strive to get the power, but we are serving, we are moving forward, we are living our life from the cross and not to the cross, meaning everything that God needed to do was done, and the Calvary work is a finished work. There is nothing else for Jesus to do. That means by faith, you can receive it, praise God. That means by faith, you can get healed, you can get delivered, you can get saved, because he worked to the cross, and now we work from the cross. The triumphant entry set into motion a chain reaction of the most horrific event in human history, Christ's betrayal, Christ's arrest, his crucifixion, and ultimately his burial. But even though the triumphant entry set into motion the most horrific event, it also set into motion the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, there is no resurrection if there was not a crucifixion. And so the crucifixion gave way to the resurrection, which should help somebody be encouraged today that you might be going through a season where people are cutting on you. You might be going through a season where it seems like everybody has walked out on you, but realize that there has to be a struggle before there can be a victory. And Jesus exemplifies this in the triumphant entry because he said the only reason you can call it triumphant in 2023 is you know how the story is. And it doesn't end with Jesus in the grave. It ends with a stone that has been rolled away and an empty grave. It doesn't just end there. Jesus ascends to heaven, but before he ascends to heaven, he said, I'm going to send to you a helper. It's called the Holy Ghost. 50 days after he ascends, the Holy Spirit shows up. I am here to tell you, we call it triumphant, not because he didn't have to go through the pain, not because he didn't have to go through the crucifixion, but because we read the back of the book and we know that resurrection, we know that the book of Acts and Pentecost is on its way. Which, if I could pause and encourage somebody today, you walked into that valley, and can I just say it was a triumphant entry into that valley? Somebody just stepped into a storm in 2023. Can I prophesy it's a triumphant entry in the hurricane? Because you're going to come out on the other side of what you're walking into. Somebody say it's a triumphant entry. Talking about the triumphant takeaways. Last week we ended talking about the first takeaway that God doesn't call you by your beginning. God doesn't call you by your middle. He calls you by your future. Sometimes we do not understand what God is talking to us, and sometimes we think that he has misjudged us or he is talking to us about someone else. You should get excited with what when God says something to you that does not match your current situation, because that means that God is speaking to your future, not your present. And let me encourage somebody that God did not consult your past when he started talking about your future. He knew the struggle you would be in April of 23. He knew what kind of valley you were going to be walking into, but he also knows what he called you to. And if he called you to something, then he's going to make sure you make it through so that you can make it to. We call it a triumphant entry. Triumphant defined means having achieved victory. My least favorite subject in class in school was English. Hated English class. English class was the same thing over and over again. Pastor Becky, for those of you that don't know, she's my mom, and she is a brilliant, very smart and intelligent person. She had two full scholarships to LSU, Louisiana State University, one for music. That's not shocking, but she also had an English scholarship. She loved English so much that as a kid, she would make long sentences on purpose just so she could diagram them. That's what I call a nerd. But she's a good nerd, praise God. So all you studious young people, you got a bright future ahead of you. But I didn't like English. I didn't like people telling me what books I had to read. I love to read. I'm a reader. But when you tell me I have to read Pride and Prejudice, I ain't about that life. When you tell me I got to read War and Peace, I don't want someone telling me what I have to read. I want to read what I want to read. But I do know that there's different phrases that we use, and there is the past tense. And what I love about the triumphant entry and calling it that is triumphant means having achieved victory. If I could speak to your faith for just a moment today, that if you will change some of your declarations to past tense, it's going to help your faith grow. You know why? Your family doesn't need to hear it as much as you need to hear it. Culture doesn't need to hear it as much as you need to hear it. Say, explain what you're saying, Pastor. Two portions of Scripture says that the stripes Jesus took on his back made healing and health available to us. And the Old Testament says, by the stripes of Jesus or by his stripes, you are healed. Peter says it looking back at the cross. That's why we are working from the cross, not to the cross. Peter would say it like this: by the stripes of Jesus back, you were healed. Now, the first verse is a reason to shout. By the stripes Jesus took on his back, you are healed. I can shout about that. I can praise about that. I can build faith around that. But when Peter comes and says, no, the stripes he took on his back, you were healed, meaning it is already done, meaning this has already happened. The reason Jesus could go into Jerusalem and they're waving palm branches and everybody is celebrating him, knowing that he's about to be crucified, that his best friends are about to turn their backs on him, and that he is going to have God the Father turn his back on him. The reason he could go through all of that is he already knew that I am already triumphant, and if I can make it through this process on the other side of the hurt is heaven, on the other side of my pain is something great. And I want to encourage somebody's faith today. Start talking in the past tense. Thank you, God, I am delivered. Thank you, God, I am healed. Thank you, God, I am prospered. Thank you, God, I have a healthy marriage. Thank you, God. Speak as if it is already done. The celebration in the streets was not just to celebrate victory. It was to celebrate the victor. His name is Jesus. Can I encourage you? Praise is thanking God for what he has done. But worship is an intimate moment where you are worshiping, praising God for who he is. God, I thank you for what you've done. Or I thank you for all that you've done in my life. But God, I worship you for who you are. With the revelation of the triumphant entry, let's read some of the most often quoted scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. The way that the KJV says it is thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. When you realize that Jesus has already won, and when you accepted Jesus, you took ownership of that win. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to go to the cross? Praise God. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to be crucified? You say, well, man, they crucify me and they mock me down at my school, at my job. It is nothing compared to what Christ went through, because you're only dealing with your life and what you're going through. Jesus took on the sins of the world at that time, before his time, and ever since the cross, he took all of the sin on him. And he said, we are more than triumphant. You're of God, 1 John 4:4, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are overcomers not because of us. We are overcomers because of him and because he was triumphant through it all. Romans 8:31, what then shall we in response say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why can we declare that scripture? Because Jesus has already been there and Jesus has already done that. Remember, the work of Calvary is a finished work. Rest in that. Work from that. Stand on that, that what he has done is still working today. Six verses later, Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He conquered first so that we could conquer. He conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we could conquer life. The triumphant entry is recorded in all four Gospels. However, Luke's perspective gives us the most detail of this event. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus had said this when he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples and he said to them, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. Triumphant takeaway number two, if you're taking notes. Obedience always precedes his presence. If you want God to show up, be obedient. If you want God to show up, obey his word. Guess what? To obey his word, you have to know his word. Has anyone ever been pulled over for speeding? Raise your hand. If you've ever been pulled over for speeding for over 25 miles an hour, raise your hand. Anyone ever been taken to jail for speeding? No, just kidding. Bishop has. Ignorance is never an excuse. Do you realize why I pulled you over? Yes, sir, I was speeding. Do you know what the speed limit is here? No, sir, I do not. That is not an excuse to get out of a violation or a ticket. Just because you don't know, and ignorance means you lack knowledge, you lack experience, you lack wisdom. So if you lack those things, we live in a world where you can have your Bible on your phone. The word of God should be obeyed at all times. When you obey the word of God, God's presence shows up. You say, how are you lifting that out of this text? Because he tells his disciples, before I can make my entrance into Jerusalem, and Jesus knew, before I can get to the cross, I'm going to depend on your obedience to do exactly what I said. And when you obey me in the exact totality of what I said, I'm going to be able to ride into this city. Can I encourage you that God is wanting to come into your family. God is wanting to show up in culture around you in greater ways, but he is waiting on the obedience not of unbelievers, but of believers like you and believers like me. He is waiting not just for a yes on Sunday, but a yes on Monday and a yes on Tuesday. I've been saying it on Wednesday night. Judas followed Jesus with his feet, but he never followed Jesus with his heart. You can come to Sunday church all you want, but God doesn't need an amen on Sunday. God needs your life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why? Because a city is depending on it. Jesus' resurrection is depending on it. Verse 31, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say the Lord needs it. I preached a sermon a long time ago from those four words right there. The Lord needs it. When you need something in your life, when you're walking according to God's word and you are obeying that, you can call those things into your life saying the Lord needs it. Not I need it. The Lord needs that in my life. And so you can start bringing the right things into your life. Those who were sent ahead went and found just as Jesus told them. And they untied the colt. And while they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, verse 33, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Triumphant takeaway number three. If you expect Jesus to triumphantly enter your life and your situation, always answer with the word. Always answer with the word. Here's the tough thing, church. You can't obey what you don't know. And you can't recite what you haven't read. You say, well, God speaks to me. I seriously doubt that God speaks to you an audible word or a spiritual word if you're not following his written word. That's why I have problems with every woke person that is trying to manipulate and twist and change the scripture. I've started hitting the unfollow button on a lot of my previously favorite preachers because they're starting to talk a lot of nonsense. I give them about three strikes. If it's good enough for the Astros, it's good enough for me. You miss it one time, I'm going to say, all right, you didn't pray enough. You miss it twice, I'm going to look at you a little cross-eyed. You miss it three times and you're saying blasphemous stuff, I'm going to have to unfollow you. Why? Because the word of God is what we're basing our life on. It's everything that I've invested in my life is invested in the word of God. So you obey God's word to bring his presence, but you always answer with the word. Jesus knew exactly what would be asked, so he was able to tell his disciples exactly what to say. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. What are we preparing to preach the word and prepared for? So that we can correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Every time somebody talks to you, every time somebody at your work comes at you, they need a rebuke, they need a correction, or they need to be encouraged. Then we have to ask ourselves, we have to identify what they need, and then we have to identify from the word what I'm going to say. We live in a generation now that is not going to wait for a word. You have to be ready to give them that word. Jesus knew what was going to be asked of the disciples when they started untying the horse. And he said, this is what they're going to say to you. And when they say this, this is going to be your response. The Lord needs it. You can never go wrong answering a question with God's word. The Express News, for some of you that are under 20 years of age, they actually have these papers that they use to send out every morning to people here in the city. You pay 25 cents and 50 cents on the weekends for a paper. They would literally hurl it at your front door every morning. It's called the newspaper. They have a religious section in there that used to call me. I said they used to call me. They called me about maybe half a dozen times, usually around this time of year, or maybe a hot button issue. I'm surprised they haven't called me to get my take on transgender and LGBTQ plus ABCDEFG and all of those other things that are going on. But they don't call me anymore. This is why they don't call me, because they say, Reverend Frinder, we'd like to get your opinion on this. And I would always tell them, you don't want my opinion because my opinion doesn't matter. But I will give you what the word says. This is what the word of God says about abortion. This is what the word of God says about homosexuality. This is what the word of God says about shacking up and fornicating before you're married. This is what the Bible says about getting drunk. This is what the Bible says about gossip. This is what the Bible says about division. This is what the Bible says about adding to, taking away from the word of God. Once they found out that they were never going to get a hot take from me, but they were only going to get what they could already read without interviewing me, they quit calling me. It's never what I want to say. It's always going to be what the word of God says. And if that puts me in prison, that's going to put me in prison. If that gets me labeled as intolerant and a bigot, then that's what they're going to call me. But I'm not worried about what they call me. I am concerned when I stand before God for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not depart, but come on in. You did your job and you did it well. You don't want to know what I think. You don't want my opinion or philosophy, but when you talk to me, you're going to get the unadulterated word of God. I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm worried about your future. So I'm going to give it to you straight. And so God said, when they ask a question, this is what you need to say, and you need to be prepared to say it. Some of us don't do that. We're worried. We're worried about what they're going to say about us. We're worried about being canceled. You cannot cancel the called. Let me say that again. You cannot cancel the called. You didn't call me, so you can't cancel me. You didn't elevate me, so you can't demote me. You're not promotion comes from the Lord, not the north, east, south, or west. You can't take me down because you're not the one propping me up, praise God. It is the God in me. Anything good from that you see in me is from God. Can't cancel the call. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when they were talking to the king, and the king said, you better bow or I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. They said, we are not careful to answer you in this manner. One translation says is we don't even have to think about what we're going to say. And then they begin to spew and pronounce the word of God just as quick as the question was answered. We need people that are so developed in the word of God that you don't have to pray about it, that you don't have to go study, that you don't have to do a Google search, that you don't have to call your mentor, your pastor. But when a question is asked, you are able to dissect their argument with straight words. The word of God obeyed, but the word of God is always the answer. Verse 35, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it, and he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. Just get this picture in your mind. When they came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. It got loud, y'all. People praising Jesus. People talking about, did you see what he did? That's his friend Lazarus following that donkey. He was dead for 4 days. Look at him now. That was the widow's son that he called back to life. Wasn't that the deaf man? Isn't that blind Bartimaeus, and he's no longer blind? Isn't, look at all, they got loud and there was excitement when Jesus entered the city. But here's the takeaway number four from the triumphant entry, and I believe this is going to resonate with somebody. The same people that will praise you today will crucify you next week. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay that the same hands that waved palm branches picked up a knife and put it straight between his shoulder blades not 7 days later. You have to be okay with the people that encouraged you the most in 2022 walking out on you in 2023. But I want to encourage you, the ones that praise you but say crucify within the week, I want to encourage you, don't respond to them. Keep carrying your cross. Keep focused on the joy set before you. Remember your purpose. Remember what God called you out of and called you into. Remember that without him, you are nothing. Remember they are basing what they're saying about you on who you used to be and who what you used to do. But thanks be to God, I am no longer that way. He, like Lazarus, he raised me back to life. I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. I was possessed, but now I'm free. That's why you cannot get excited about the praise, and you cannot be destroyed because of the criticism. I've noticed in my life that the ones that praise me the most are the ones who will criticize me the most down the road. The ones, I've noticed this, and I'll just help somebody. I've noticed the people that tell me, go out of their way to tell me, I'll be here forever, Pastor. Within 6 weeks, they gone. Me and my family are planted. When if you could see in the spirit, they've already uprooted themselves and they're looking for another field to plant themselves in. And you say, Pastor, does it hurt? Oh, it's like a divorce every time that happens, but I do not let it take away from the stride that God has me on. I do not let it break my focus. I do not let it break what God has called me to do. Why? Because God knew it was going to happen and it's still a triumphant entry. You can shout the praises or you can shout crucify, but at the end of this, crucifixion and resurrection are still going to happen, and I'm here to tell you that God's got a plan for you that no person can stop. Check this out. I preached that before, but I've never gone to this next point. Triumphant entry. Palms are being waved and raised. Hosanna, King, peace on earth. All of these great things are being said by his disciples and his followers. 4 days later, the same voices, crucify him, crucify him. 2 days later, he's dead and he's never coming back. These are the same people. These are not different people. 3 days later, he gets out of the grave. He's standing in front of some of them and they're saying, I still don't believe. I need to touch you for me to believe. And then in a few days, a few hours from that moment, they're celebrating, Jesus, it's really you. They're like the Texas weather. They're all over the place. Praising, crucifying, doubting, worshiping. It is you. I'm going to carry this word for the rest of my life. Standing there in the ascension, saying, God, where are you going? Don't worry, I'm going to send you a comforter. It's going to be in the upper room. Go and wait. Some of those people went and waited, and then they left. They are all over the place. I wish I could promise you that you're going to have a person in your life that is steady, but I cannot promise you that. But what I can promise you is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I can promise you is sometimes you're going to be up and down. What I can promise you is sometimes life is going to throw a curveball or jerk the rug out from under your feet. But I do know this, when people aren't constant, God is constant. When people are all over the place, Jesus is the same. And I want to encourage somebody today, don't get caught up in the praises. But don't get caught up in the crucifies either, because resurrection is on its way. Verse 36, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. I've got two of these left, and I'm out of time. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Triumphant takeaway number 5, prophecy is fulfilled differently than what we expect. Some of us miss what God is doing, because he doesn't do it like we think he is going to do it or should do it. As they're singing Hosanna, they're literally quoting one of David's Psalms, the 118th Psalm. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we will bless you. The disciples and crowd that shouted and celebrated the arrival of Jesus, they thought he was initiating an earthly kingdom. However, God had something so much bigger in mind. Check this out, church. They were trying to make Jesus king before they made him Savior. If Jesus had stopped and said, keep on praising me. Keep on. I love what I'm hearing. I love what I'm hearing. We're going to set up this kingdom right here in Jerusalem. We're going to build a castle. We're going to build a kingdom. James and John will be at my left and right hand. Peter is going to be our spin doctor. And we're going to, Luke, all of these things he could have done. But he said, nope, I'm not here for an earthly kingdom. I'm here for something so much bigger. And some of us are trying to make Jesus the king of our lives without making him the Lord of our lives. Listen, you cannot meet him at an empty grave without realizing that there was a crucifixion that happened and he bled out so that we could celebrate the resurrection. You know who celebrates the resurrection? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The ones that realize what he did to get us here. But there's a lot of us saying, God bless my bank account. Give me a mate. Give me a spouse. God bless my family. And God is saying, so let me get this straight. You want me to be king of everything, but you don't want me to be the savior of your soul. He saves me first, and his redemption cleans me up. His word cleans me up. Stand on your feet. I heard this on a podcast the other day that I was listening to. It wasn't even a Christian podcast, but everything I listen to, I'm a preacher. I start thinking in kingdom terms. And I can't even remember what this guy was talking about, but he said there's too many people that are obsessed with cleaning the fish that they haven't caught. And his point was, we need to get the fish in the boat first, and then we can start cleaning them. Some of us are wanting God to clean up our families, but he's still on that cross. The only time Jesus comes off the cross in your life is when you accept him as Lord of your life, as Savior of all. The Bible says there's a danger every time that we sin as believers of putting Jesus back on the cross. I don't want to be guilty of that. I know you don't either. So I want to encourage you today that the prophecy that God is fulfilling in your life is so much bigger than even you think. You think it's a prodigal son? God is talking generations, not just one person. You're talking churches, God's talking cities. You're talking jobs, God is talking about businesses, ownership. God is so much bigger than we think. You think about this, church, and I promise you I'm finishing with this. They were so excited that Jesus had come to Jerusalem, they literally thought that this was going to be the coronation of a king. That Jesus was going to sit on an earthly throne, and they were so excited. And don't you know, God the Father was like, oh, it's so much bigger than that. He's not going to sit on a throne in a city. He's going to sit on the throne of your heart. You're not going to have to to get an appointment to go see him in a kingdom, on his throne, in the throne room. But he said, I'm going to make it to where you can boldly approach the throne anytime you want. The kingdom's so much bigger. And it's these two ladies, my friend Michael has joined and stepped into this altar. I know them. I know their families. I mean, I don't know how close I know them, but I know them better than most. They know me better than most. But I just think of all that God has done for them. But then I think of all that he's yet to do. Or maybe it's already done, but it's yet to show up.